We are happy to welcome you to this episode of the Ancient Chi podcast, a podcast aiming to inspire and give students of the chemistry and biotech divisions an insight into what their future careers could look like. It will be me, Malin,
and me, Kajsa,
who will be interviewing today.
We had the honor to have Nobel laureate Frances Arnold as our guest, and she won the Nobel Prize in 2018 for her research on directed evolution of enzymes. Applications of her research on the development of enzymes can be used to create more efficient and optimized chemical reactions and adapt enzymes for new jobs. Frances Arnold pioneered this field, but she has not always been working with chemistry and biology.
She started her way into engineering in the mechanical and aerospace field, focusing on solar energy, and among many things, she also studied economics and different languages, giving her a big diversity of knowledge. She then became interested in the world of chemistry and earned her PhD in chemical engineering in 1985. Frances started her life research on the directed evolution of enzymes, publishing work on the field in 1993, which led her on the road to being awarded the Nobel Prize. In 2017, she became the Linus Pauling Professor of Chemical Engineering, Bioengineering and Biochemistry at the California Institute of Technology.
In the following interview, Frances gives us a glimpse into her career and some inspirational words for university students and people dreaming about becoming a researcher.
Now, it's time to welcome Nobel laureate Frances Arnold. It's an honor to welcome you, Professor Frances Arnold, to this interview.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
We are really happy for you and inspired by the things you have achieved during your career and are very curious about what has motivated you, both as a student and now later on as a professor.
Well, my motivation comes from a love of trying new things. I love experiencing new things, and honestly, science gives me such a great chance to do that on so many levels. It's one reason I'm frustrated being stuck at home during this shutdown. I need to get out and do these things.
We know that you have been working in many different fields, solar energy among others. But when did you figure out that you wanted to work with chemistry and wanted to earn a PhD in chemical engineering?
Well, I came late to chemistry, I have to admit. I didn't enjoy it in college or high school. I think I had to just grow up. Engineering was a great opportunity for me when I went to graduate school. And then I had to take chemistry classes to catch up with all the chemical engineers. And that was so much fun. I just loved that opportunity. It clicked somehow when I was 25 in a way that it didn't when I was 17. And then I just completely fell in love with biochemistry.
As you said, you've dabbled in different fields, but have you always been determined the whole time about what you wanted to achieve, or have your ideas gone back and forth between different areas of research?
I had to try different things to find out what I liked. I mean, what do we know when we're just starting out? We don't know what chemical engineering's about. We know really little about what does a chemist actually do. So I just tried different things. And eventually the search focused on my life's project, which is engineering enzymes. But the fact that I went through mechanical engineering, chemical engineering, biophysics, chemistry, I was able to put these together in a new way and find the combination that was my own unique way of doing things. Doing chemistry and engineering and biology using evolution.
That's great.
Yeah, and I imagine that makes you different from everyone else, that you have such an wide experience from many kinds of fields and so on.
I think disparate experiences give you a perspective that may be useful. Maybe it's not, right? There might be lots of people who have disparate experiences and never put them together in a new way. But for me, it was both enjoyable and I was able to do something new with them.
Has that changed for you over time? You said you worked with different kinds of fields and then you got into chemistry. So, I mean, has that changed when you got into chemistry? Have you been more focused on one goal when you started on this field?
It was when I became an assistant professor at Caltech after my PhD that I focused on protein engineering. This was the early 1980s, and protein engineering was a completely new field. People were just given the ability to cut and paste DNA for the first time. And I said, okay, I'm an engineer. I love biochemistry. I love enzymes. I want to build new enzymes. And at that time, no one knew how to do it. So I had to figure out how. And that's when I focused on solving this one big problem.
From the perspective of us and other people looking at your career, there's much to admire about your work and you as a person. But how do you feel that winning the Nobel Prize has affected you personally and your research?
Well, for one thing, my children do their own dishes now. So personally, it's had a few advantages. I get treated with a little bit more respect at home. And of course, the Nobel Prize is known everywhere. And I guess people have higher higher expectations of me than I'm used to. But it's also given the whole field a boost. You know, none of us works alone. And the impact that you can have with your own work depends on what other people do with it. So what was gratifying to see was the huge boost that this prize gave to the entire field of protein engineering, enzyme engineering, biocatalysis, green chemistry. They felt, not just my students, but all my colleagues felt like they had some small part in this prize themselves, and many of them did.
There's been real positive news for the community.
That's right. That's right.
Very inspirational for other people as well, I think, that many get interested when hearing about this big prize and your project.
And for us as students who started bioengineering when you won it.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad that these big awards, which by necessity go to a very small number of people, can generate such excitement and enthusiasm and inspiration in a very large number of people. That's the best thing about a prize.
Did you have any goals you dreamed about reaching when you were a student like we are now?
Well, I never planned on winning a Nobel Prize. As an engineer, it was not a dream of mine. Although, you know, I've known plenty of people who do dream about things like that. Somehow, to me, those people were on a completely different level. Now I know they're just normal people, right? Now that I'm older and I have one myself, somehow, you know, we get elevated to some different plane. But we're all just people wanting to do science, do something fun and useful for our lives, right? That's how I came into being a professor and being at Caltech and engineering enzymes. It was something I think that my skills were well used for and that I could do on my own independently with my team, of course, for the rest of my life. Something fun.
Nice.
That was my dream.
Do you have any advice for university students dreaming about doing their own research in the future?
Well, I don't like to give too much advice because everyone has their own path, but I do think it's useful to try different things and find what you truly love. You love so much that you look forward to going to work. And to me, that's the ultimate job, is to have a job you would do just out of the love of it. And you get paid for it.
If you were a student today, again, what would you have done? Would you do anything different?
Oh, there's minor details I would have done better, but honestly, there's not too much I would have done different. Even the bad experiences were somehow important for the ultimate achievement. So, you know, you think you can plot a perfect route through life. Let me tell you, that doesn't happen. And I think the important thing is to be willing to adapt and make changes and take a different direction if you have to.
I'm a bit curious about how do you believe that your research and achievements will affect the research on the environment and how we can maintain a healthy world?
Well, I think my individual research won't have a big effect, but the effect will come from people like you, right? The young people who decide that they want a healthy planet, that they want to live on a planet that gets shared not just by human beings, but all the other species and the nature that we all treasure, right? And that you will combine tools generated by others and by you to solve those big problems. And to me, biology is the best chemist and the best engineer. So it makes perfect sense to use biology to solve a lot of problems, including chemical problems. And it will be you who go out and do that.
It's a very cool way of looking at the evolution process and try to, what can we do about these things that we already know about biology and use it? I mean, you talked a lot about that in your Nobel Prize lecture, and I was so inspired by it because somehow you need to look at what we know and try to understand it.
Well, as an engineer, I look at evolution as the most powerful, amazing design process that's ever been invented. And it evolved, and it creates everything in the biological world, from molecules to ecosystems. To me, it's a no-brainer to use evolution. It seemed surprising to everybody else at the time, but evolution is just so powerful. And if we learn how to use it, it can help us live with the world.
Then we'd like to thank you so much for being our guest, and it's been an honor. And I think we both feel inspired by your words, and I'm sure that many other students out there will too. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And actually, I want to say something to the students. You're in a very difficult time when we have so many problems to solve. And you have your own personal challenges with this pandemic that is wreaking havoc, especially in places like Los Angeles. I hope that you can move forward in a really positive way and that you get inspired to help us get through times like this. So I wish you all the best for your futures.
We want to thank Frances Arnold once again for being our guest. And we also want to thank you for listening. It means a lot to us in Ernst & Kai that you enjoyed this podcast. The music in the episode was made by Oscar Svensson. Take care.